This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WRKF Baton Rouge and WWNO New Orleans, the two preeminent public radio stations in our great state. And one of the most popular politicians based on number of votes over the last three elections, nobody's gotten more than this fellow. His name is William Harold Billy Nungesser, the lieutenant governor, and he carries the torch for Louisiana all over the world. And as we talk with him right now, it is 7:38 p.m. in India. He is in New Delhi, and good evening to you, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.
Good to be with you, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And for those who'd like to talk with Billy Nungesser, your number, 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Well, how's it going in India?
It's going great. I tell you, this is a great market. We received a $300,000 a year grant from the U.S. Commerce Department to go to three new international markets, Italy, Spain, and India. And this is the third one that we've opened up the doors of Louisiana to this year. And I'm most excited about India. There's so much wealth being built over here. And I believe it's the number two international traveler to America. So it's a great market for us to look at getting those folks to visit Louisiana. Incredible numbers here coming to America. And we're just excited about the opportunity.
Do they know about Louisiana in India?
You know, they know more about New Orleans than all of Louisiana. So we were fortunate enough. We brought Mississippi River Country and Lake Charles and New Orleans with us on this trip as partners. But we're selling all of Louisiana because there's so many direct flights into Houston and Dallas. It makes it a short trip over to Louisiana.
Well, I remember Robert Travis Scott, when he was working for the Picayune, he went to India after Bobby Jindal was elected, and they knew about him. I think he preceded Nikki Haley as an Indian-American governor. And it is a country that, as you know, has, oh my goodness, it has about six times the people of the United States.
Absolutely. I went downtown this morning on a tour, and the people, it's unbelievable that this many people live in this country and get along and prosper. It's growing. There's a lot of business going on here. And I'm really excited. And they're very friendly, much like Louisianans. Everybody's willing to help you, and really friendly people. So I'm really excited about this market and think it's one we can really grow into one of our top international tourist destinations coming to Louisiana.
877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, elected to the number two position in state government 2015, 2019, 2023, and he is in India. You made one stop before New Delhi. Where were you?
In Mamba, and same thing there. The people are incredible. And then we'll be leaving tomorrow morning to go to Dubai and meet with the port officials there, a couple of the airlines, the American Chamber of Commerce. And I try to, as well as selling the ports, the movie industry, business, while we make these tourism trips, we make sure to try to meet with as many officials to spark as much interest in Louisiana as we can.
Aaron in Kenner. Good morning, Aaron. You're on Talk Louisiana with Billy Nungesser.
Yes, I'd like to ask the Lieutenant Governor about the election, if he's voting for Trump, and what do you think about NPR constantly endorsing Kamala Harris?
All right. NPR has not endorsed Kamala Harris. If you're going to say her name, please get it right.
Yeah.
And the Lieutenant Governor is a Republican, so my guess is that you will be voting for the former president, but I don't want to answer for you. Go ahead.
You know what? I'm a diehard Republican. But like I said, I endorsed Nikki Haley early on. I thought she was the best choice. It's a tough election. I'm concerned about, the balance of power of the House and the Senate and the presidency going to one party, which I don't think would be good for this country. And that's my fear in this election.
Well, it could go either way. All three, yeah. House, Senate, and the presidency are razor tight. But Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, and I thought to his credit, when Donald Trump came to Louisiana in 2019 and slammed John Bel Edwards not once, twice, but three times, and said things like, he said John Bel Edwards was anti-gun and pro-abortion, that he was in favor of late-term abortion, and of course he was not, but that's Donald Trump. But the only Republican who did not go and kiss the ring of Donald Trump was Billy Nungesser, and you stayed away. Why?
Well, I think the negative, the rhetoric is Louisiana is not good for this country. And that's, you know, like I said, that's why I endorsed Nikki Haley early on. And I thought she had the best chance of winning. And I'm real concerned about this election, like I said, for all three seats of government, because I'm a big supporter of open primary. Because we're electing people from the far right and the far left, and nothing gets done in Washington. Mm-hmm. And as long as that continues, it's not good for this country.
You mentioned that in 2 years, when Bill Cassidy will presumably run for re-election, it'll be a closed primary for the U.S. Senate and for the races for the U.S. House. You don't like that. Why not? You just said that you think it's better the way we have it, but why was there this inertia to change?
Well, I think it was, you'd have to ask the governor, because he's the one that I was not in favor of that change to closed primary. But if you look across this country and you look at any time either side compromises on anything, they want to throw them out of office. And whether you agree or disagree, there's got to be a time when this country can come together and fix some of these problems. And the word compromise has not been used very well in Washington. And if open primary, you at least have to appease to everybody at some junction and not just play to the far right or the far left. One, to get elected, and two, to govern that way, even when some people don't believe in some of the things that they have to get elected. And that's not good for this country.
Chris in New Orleans. Chris, what's your question for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser?
Hi. I was wondering, with your work as the Lieutenant Governor having to sell the state and work with so many different people, Republican and Democrat, I was wondering how maybe that compromise, kind of like we were talking about having to work with the other side, how that's kind of changed your politics being in that Lieutenant Governor role, if it has at all.
All right.
Well, that changed my philosophy. I'm a conservative Republican. But I also believe we're all Americans, and if we can have more dialogue. Look, I was president of the Lieutenant Governors Association, and I had to work with both Republicans and Democrats. And we did come together and pass a lot of resolutions that we asked Congress to consider that we all could agree on. And I don't agree with 100%. I don't agree with a lot of things that many of my counterparts on the Democrat side do, but I'm friends with them. And we're able to talk through issues like flood protection and things that are important mm-hmm. to all of our states. And we got to be able to do that if we're going to fix these problems.
All right. Errol in New Orleans, please be concise. You're on with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.
Yes, Lieutenant Nungesser. Thank you. Would you please look into the duck, quail, and goose egg industry there? I run a small business, Your Excellency, here in New Orleans, and I'd love to be able to market to India.
All right.
I'll look into that, and we've got a great contact here that's a partner with us now that I am excited about. They have so many business interests here. We had some people from the Washington State Department come all the way from Washington, D.C. to meet with us at these events we've been hosting. So I'll be glad. Reach out to my office and give me your information, and I'll be glad to connect you with our team here that's going to be working on a lot of things to bring Louisiana businesses and commerce from India. So look forward to that.
Gaston in Baton Rouge, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, Lieutenant Governor. I love what you're saying about working together, but I want to just clarify something. Are you an election denier?
No. Listen, if there's things done, do I think the election was stolen? There was no physical proof that I saw. Were there things probably done with some of the ballot harvesting? Probably so. But unless there's evidence that you can prove to overturn election, you can't, I don't believe you can just continue to say that the election was rigged. And that it's behind us. We need to move forward and make sure our elections are secure. But to keep bringing and harping on that does nobody any good.
All right. Well, it's torn the country apart, and we'll see what happens. But moving forward, unity may be a thing of the past, at least for the immediate future.
Well, Jim, if you see what's going on around the world and these wars breaking out, we better come together as Americans sooner rather than later, because it does not feel well for us, for the people we're fighting around the world.
Well, good luck in India, and we'll be talking next month again with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans and WRKF Baton Rouge. And I look forward to seeing many of you later today at the Crown Plaza High Noon, the Founders Day Luncheon, the annual event. James Carville, our guest now, was a speaker there a few years ago, as was his lovely wife, Mary Madeline. And we're appreciative of the fact that they're very kind to public radio. And James Carville, before we get to the election, which is 39 shopping days away from November 5th, there is a major production about his life that premiered last week at the Kennedy Center. And James Carville, it's coming to New Orleans. This is a documentary. I remember The War Room, which was really, really, for those who have never seen it, that is one for the ages. It has James and George Stephanopoulos and Bill Clinton in the year of 1992, and now 32 years later, James Carville is back in a big way. You're coming to the Britannia, aren't you?
Yeah, we're on October 22nd, and we have a 210 seat theater. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to have an earlier showing for press and schools, universities, that kind of thing. So we'll probably have two showings after Britannia. The later showing is going to be an invitation kind of thing, but we'll treat it as a world premiere. I mean, we'll have a red carpet and we'll have some searchlights out there and everything. It'll be a lot of fun. And I've seen it obviously now. And everybody got the same reaction. It's like a travel poster for Louisiana. There'll be a lot of Louisiana shots in there, I promise you.
Well, I'm told there was like a 5-minute standing ovation in Washington.
It was at the Lincoln Center.
At the Lincoln Center, not the Kennedy Center, but Lincoln Center, big time, New York.
Lincoln Center in New York, kind of west side. It's a very good movie. It's a very worthy successor to The War Room, which is saying a lot, because The War Room is considered to be one of the epic documentaries of all time.
Well, these things often are done well, but sometimes they miss the mark. A listener says, "Is it better than Get Me Roger Stone?"
Matt did the Roy Cohn movie.
Yes,
Where's My Roy Cohn? He did the Valentino movie. He did Scotty and the Gay History of Hollywood. He did the 4-hour Showtime Reagan special. Matt's a world-class director, and that he was on this case makes all the difference in the world. I mean, don't want to get to comparing things, but I can assure. And by the way, it will air on CNN on October the 5th. I think it'll be 6:00 Central Time. But check, you can watch it for free on CNN. Then it's going to go to HBO Max after shows on CNN. And then we have a theatrical opening in New York City on the 12th of October.
And then the Britannia on the 22nd, you said?
The 22nd, yeah. The schedule is we have October 5th is CNN showing, the 11th, 10th, 11th at a Hamptons Film Festival. The 19th is Middleburg, 22nd is New Orleans. And
we go from there.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more as we get closer.
Right.
But here's one from Hal in Monroe asking about James Carville on the big screen. He says, were you offended or were you amused at Billy Bob Thornton's portrayal of you in Primary Colors?
Not wasn't offended at all. Our Bill Hader on Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's kind of flattering, honestly. I'm not offended at all by it.
What's that?
Anything, I'm flattered.
Yeah, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery. I really hate the fact that they don't have Alec Baldwin doing Trump anymore on Saturday Night Live. Alec kind of messed that up.
He was very good.
But he was good. My goodness.
Yeah, he was very good. Yeah. That guy, J.L. Chauvin, I don't know if he has Louisiana roots. I have to look him up. He does. His Trump imitations are so funny, you make you cry.
Well, Trump.
I got to see his origins. Because Chauvin is obviously a pretty prominent South Louisiana last name.
Well, Trump, shall we say, is fertile for caricature. And the debate with Kamala Harris, we talked with you before the debate, your thoughts about how it went.
I think it went, like anybody else, it went really very well. And what struck me is how ill-prepared he was. I don't know if his campaign staff, I'm sure they tried to prepare him. And, of course, June the 27th was the most consequential presidential debate in history, not even close. And she went in, and I knew that the people preparing her were quite good. I had a high degree of confidence she'd do well, and she did well. And he doesn't want to debate her again. That's as simple. She'd already accepted one, I think, on the 23rd of October. And, for all of his bluster, he reminds you of some playground bully that finds somebody hit him in the mouth and he's over in the corner trying to stop the bleeding because his lip is cut. I don't know. His whole bully act has just gone stale on him.
Well, it is a close race, but is there a possibility? I think I know which way you think it would go, but is there a possibility? They got these seven swing states that are all extremely close, so they could all go in one direction.
Right. It the least likely outcome of seven swing states is they break 4-3. That's the least likely. It's, to my mind, it's much more likely to break 5-2, 6-1. Maybe even, and generally at the end, somebody does better. And whoever that person is doing. Now, to be fair, Trump did better in 2020 than we thought he was going to do. We tend to forget that.
And he did better in 2016 than we thought.
Hey, a little bit. The polling, the national polling in 2016 was not that far off, and it didn't poll in the states. But in 2020, they polled in the states right to the end, and he did much better in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, than his polling numbers do. So you have to be cognizant of that. Having said that, this doesn't, and I said it on TV, I'll say it here, this doesn't feel like a race that Harris is going to lose. It just seems like there's enthusiasm, there's money, there's everything that you kind of, in a political campaign, now the polling is tight, although it slightly favors her. I don't know if that means that much. But there's more politics left, and this vote is going to break one way or another. And I just think it's more likely her, but I don't know that. I'm not terrible at predicting elections.
Well, when your guy, Bill Clinton, won, Republicans had held the White House, I believe, 20 of the preceding 24 years. 12 years in a row. Now Democrats have had it 12 out of 16 years. Isn't that right? Yeah. They had it two Obama.
And the relevant also is the Democrats have won the popular vote seven out of the last eight elections.
The overall vote, and yes.
The overall vote. And the other thing to keep in mind is the Democrats have not lost an election since the Dobbs decision in June of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
These haven't. And so, but you have the fact that Trump historically closes better and under polls. So I guess I would leave both sides of, you know, saying, well, you got this, you look at that, you become a little more encouraged. The other side can look at that and be a little more encouraged. But that's pretty much where it is. And tight races are the norm of the 21st century. The only candidate that went to bed knowing the night before the election, knowing he was going to win on election day, was Obama in 2008. All, the rest of them was uncertain.
It is a divided country, and the polls reflect that. And the Democrats, as much as they revile Donald Trump, another Republican would certainly be a heavy favorite in this race. And we'll talk with James Carville about
maybe,
how.
Maybe.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. If it were Haley versus Harris, would that be a different race? And we'll talk about more. And go to your calls at 877-217-5757 back after this. This is Jim Inkster, and we have one more segment with James Carville on Talk Louisiana, Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans, WRKF Baton Rouge. Your number, 877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines in a moment, but we do ask that you make your remarks concise. As always, there are a few people who want to talk to James Carville. But I think Donald Trump will rue the day, agreed to that June debate with Joe Biden. And James Carville was, in my view, the only Democrat of note who was saying before the debate that Biden had to go. And of course, one of the concerns was that there was this feeling that Kamala Harris could not win either. And she has shown that she is a formidable candidate. And I said that I thought she got the candidate she wanted and perhaps needed in Donald Trump. But, James, you sound like you think she could have defeated Nikki Haley or some other Republican.
That's an assumption. So if you just take our knowledge of the Baton Rouge area politically, if it was Nikki Haley, she would definitely do better than Trump would in South Baton Rouge. Okay, she would obviously do better about south of Forest Street. Maybe now it's south of Government Street, but you get the drift. But would she do as well in Central, or Pride, or Watson? That's the real question. Okay, it's so yeah, she would do better with some voters, but I don't think they would have near the energy to come out for her that they'd have for Trump. So, in my mind, I'm not sure that Haley would have been a stronger general election candidate.
All right. 877-217-5757. James in Longview, Texas. James, you're on with James Carville.
Well, good morning, Jim and James. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I agree with you, James, when you said earlier that Trump was ill-prepared for that last debate. And I'm just wondering, do you think his heart and soul's really into it or just selling merchandise at this point? I'm independent, but I'm getting ads for Trump mugs and things like that.
Well, there comes some wisdom from the East Texas Piney Woods, for sure. It's a good question, and I'm going to make a prediction right now. He now has a watch scam where he's selling 147 $100,000 watches. Now he's angling to be the 47th president. So you know he came to this number 147. And it's being marketed at $100,000. I don't think I'm gonna make a prediction. When somebody gets one of these and looks at this watch, it's gonna be like a $50 Rolex you buy at Times Square. But this is it. I think our call from East Texas is on something. I don't think he's interested in doing a job. I think he's interested in having the glory of a job and where his family can make. You can realize how much money they made when last time he was president. I mean, his son-in-law got $2 billion from the Saudis and hasn't done anything with it yet.
Yeah, I see that. He's not doing well.
You saw that?
Yeah.
And but I don't think he's that enthusiastic about dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. I think there was some wisdom in offering from East Texas.
877-217-5757 for James Carville. James and Harvey. Hello, James.
This must be the James show today.
A lot of Jameses.
How far are you from the canal?
About a mile. Anyway, quick, what I wanted to know is I miss the days of Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Antonin Scalia. Even Ali went to Fraser's funeral. And the most moving thing I've ever seen on the floor of Congress was when John Lewis hugged John Isaacson, who on the day he retired after 20 years of those men fighting. And then we have Mr. Carville and his lovely bride. What the hell do we need to do to get back to those days? That's the one thing that I agree with Donald Trump on, is make America great again, where we can disagree, but we can live together.
Well,
yeah. All right. Well, I tell my friend James, watch the movie on CNN. I think it's 6 o'clock, October 5th. It's free, so it doesn't answer your question totally, but I think it has some insight into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our Harvey friend is, and I think a lot of people do, long for a day when politics was combative, but at the end of the day, people could talk to each other. And, we're not there yet, but let's let this election, let's see how this thing turns out. It might be a little bit better than we think.
Let us hope so. 877-217-5757. A listener, who is it? Tom in Lafayette, asked us to talk about Clay Higgins. And before we do that, Robin, can you pull up Anderson Cooper's report? It's brief on Congressman Higgins' latest faux pas. Let's go for it.
On falsehoods and fear and, frankly, racism. The latest example, Louisiana Republican Congressman Clay Higgins, this guy. Now, he doesn't have much of a record of accomplishment in the House, but today he certainly got noticed. This is what he posted on social media. Quoting the congressman now, LOL, these Haitians are wild, eating pets, voodoo, nastiest country in the Western Hemisphere, cults, slapstick gangsters, but damned if they don't feel all sophisticated now, filing charges against our president and VP. All these thugs better get their mind right and their ass out of our country before January 20th.
All right, that's Anderson Carville on our congressman from Lafayette. Your thoughts, James?
So, I'll tell you my thoughts. Southwest Louisiana was, when I was young, was a refreshing bastion of tolerance. People don't realize that. There were two blacks on the Crowley City Council in 1954. The university in Lafayette was integrated in the 50s. No one said anything. Remember when James Meredith went to Ole Miss and everybody
got killed.
Had a collective hissy fit? People got killed. Cajuns didn't care. And somehow or another, and this is to me, in my mind, it's a tragedy, Southwest Louisiana started to dislike people. And what, I'm pretty this Catholic school educated. I'm steep, but I'm pretty knowledgeable of Catholic theology. That is probably the most un-Catholic thing you could imagine anybody saying in your life. And I'm sure that there are people in South Louisiana that are going to go to Mass on Sunday and vote for this guy on Tuesday. And I think it's absurd. I don't know what to do about it. I'm very distressed at the turn that a lot of people in Southwest Louisiana have taken. I think their previous joie de vivre, live and let live, was a much better way to live than this Clay Higgins' way to live, which I think is, I think at the core, it's immoral. I'll just be flat out. I'll say, I think that what Clay Higgins promotes and preaches is immorality.
Rufus in Baton Rouge, Mid-City. Rufus, you're on with James Carville.
Good morning, Jim. James. James,
hey.
You have
hey,
any
Rufus.
Predictions for an October? You have any predictions for an October surprise?
What could happen that
well,
would swing the election?
Rufus, yeah. One thing we've had about every kind of surprise in this cycle we can have, and
I think you and I might be in the same place. I can't tell you what's going to happen, but something's going to happen, and it's going to probably be out of the ordinary. I mean, we've had a catastrophic debate. We've had a president that's been grazed in the ear by a would-be assassin. We've had a change in candidates in the Democratic Party that took place over a period of 36 hours. We had a first debate that was one of the all-time overmatches in presidential debate history. So I'm kind of, look, I can't see the future that well, but the crazy stuff is not going to stop in this cycle. Right. I don't know. I can't tell you what it's going to bring, but we got another significant event coming our way.
All right. Time for one more caller for James Carville. Who's been holding the longest, Robin? Jason in Jones Creek in Baton Rouge area. Jason, you're on with James Carville.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, good morning, James.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how can we get people to, or why is Trump's physical health and mental health not talked about more? He just does not look like a healthy man.
All right. What about Trump and his dotage?
Right. Right. It's actually, it gets talked about, but kind of more in the shadows or more in the kind of bad pages. The thing that we got to understand about politics, you got to pick one or two targets. And there's no doubt he's would be the oldest president in history if he won this by the time he left office. But I think that if you put an all-out campaign on his cognitive ability, his health, or something like that, people would say, well, I can see it. But people with Biden, they could see it. Trump, he rambles, as somebody, a friend of mine, said, there's not enough oil and vinegar in Italy to dress his word salad. But he, to the public, he looks kind of energetic. And it's a case that I think that our friend has there's some merit to it, but I'm not sure that's the case that we want to make coming down the stretch. Now, he could have a Joe Biden June the 27th event, and then it would really come into focus. And mm-hmm. That's a possibility, by the way. That's a real thing. The man is definitely not in good health. He doesn't have good color. He tries shifting around. He's morbidly overweight. He says he weighs 235 pounds. Go buy one of those. Spend $100,000 on that watch if you think he weighs 235 pounds. But, it's a question, but I think it would have to manifest itself in something that he did, opposed to Democrats making an issue out of it. But thank you very much for the question.
And thank you, James Carville. And hopefully we'll talk before the election and of course, the documentary, the 22nd of October at the Britannia. Thanks, James. Back after this with more. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, Politics Friday on WWNO and WRKF. And we have as our guest in the final stretch, Brooke Thorington, Capitol reporter for those radio stations, the preeminent public radio stations in Louisiana, and Greg LaRose, who's doing exceptional work as the editor of the Louisiana Illuminator, where you'll read material you'll find nowhere else. But we do have a couple of topics that are hot and topical, and if you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757. U.S. Representative Clay Higgins, as we were discussing with James Carville, will likely receive a vote on being censured by the House for a social media post about Haitian immigrants that drew widespread condemnation as racist and untrue. Now, Clay Higgins, throughout his career, has made inflammatory statements. In 1992, as Mark Ballard reports, he described former Klan leader David Duke is a homeboy and said he voted for Duke, but he is the pride of Acadiana and he wins by handsome margins in that great area. As James Carville says, people who love people, and they love Clay Higgins an awful lot. How do you explain this, Greg LaRose?
Yeah, I wish I could offer an explanation. Jim, good morning. I've got a commentary that's sort of bouncing around in my head that I probably will put to the keyboard today. And, what questions I've been mulling over is, like, what does this say with regards to the 3rd District? It's where I'm from. And, friends, family, I don't think they would espouse to repeating misinformation, and two, taking such a hateful, racist tone. Yet Mark Ballard's point is in the other reports that this I've heard it from Pearson Cross and others that he gets resoundingly elected. So I don't know that I would think maybe the electorate is in for some soul searching with regards to is this truly what represents our views? And it would seem they are comfortable in saying yes. I think that's real cause for concern. It's certainly disappointing.
And Brooks Orrington, your thoughts about why there's this affection for the congressman who became famous on television as the Crime Stoppers guy in Lafayette?
I can't explain it, but that is a fire engine red, lipstick red, district. So, but I honestly think, after Kennedy's statements the week before that Higgins just said, hey, hold my beer, let me do this. whether he truly regrets what he said and taking it down and that he's praying about it, only Clay knows that. But, if this had been Graves or Johnson or Cassidy, we would have been shocked. But this is Clay Higgins. This is kind of par for the course for him.
Okay. Well, it's going to have a story. It will be a story with legs. And it is, Brooke made a good point. The John Kennedy story has largely gone away. And what he said was just as inflammatory as what Clay Higgins did. But we'll see where both of them go. Louisiana Board of Regents Vice Chair Jay Seal has resigned, calling Governor Landry's recent appointment of Misty Cordell as chair of the board deeply offensive. What's this about, Greg?
Yeah. So Misty Cordell did not really have much experience with the Board of Regents, with the governor's, when this governor decided to appoint her to lead that body. And, we're already hearing from board members, and this is a concern that folks in the academic world have mentioned, that an overly politicized governing body for higher education would be questionable, could lead to concerns when it comes time for accreditation of these schools and their individual colleges and departments. And I just, I wonder if that's something that really is keeping the governor up at night, that, what does this accreditation mean? Obviously, in the terms of these universities to go out and seek funding, I think it could have some impact. But this is not much of a surprise, really, from the governor, who clearly wants to put his thumbprint on higher education, just like one of several institutions that he's chosen to politicize to, in effect, will gain more control over policy in that regard.
Brooke, the governor he is ruling with an iron fist. Your thoughts?
Well, I think this is just going to be one of many after a law was passed giving him more control over the boards. And I think this is going to be, it's going to be par for the course. We're going to see this happen a lot more on boards. And, is this maybe just another way to get Mike the Tiger into the stadium quicker? It will be interesting. You don't put your third string quarterback in when she hasn't had that much experience in a bowl game.
Okay.
So I understand that.
I like your analogies of red. What was it? Lipstick red is the...
Fire engine lipstick red.
Okay, there we go. Okay, and the third string quarterback is now head of the Board of Regents, says Brooke Thorington. Okay, you're giving us your A game. I like it. Surgeon General, Louisiana Surgeon General, Dr. Ralph Abraham, former congressman, former head of the Department of Health, and Louisiana Agriculture Hall of Distinction inductee. He says that John Bel Edwards did it all wrong with the COVID pandemic and that he would do everything differently. He, of course, is a doctor. And he also says that we should get an alternate tiger. Tiger number two, I guess Mike's, I don't know what his name would be. Maybe you can pick the name.
Little Mike, I think is what he said.
Okay.
Mikey.
Mikey. We could get Mikey to come to the games while Mike snoozes in his cage across the street. Brooke, your thoughts?
this whole Tiger thing, I honestly think we've got a lot more things that we need to concentrate on here in the state besides bringing a Abraham said he wanted a Tiger Cub to come in, that maybe we could have little Mikey in for the games. But
he is a vet, too. He knows his stuff when it comes to animals. But
true.
These animal rights activists say it's a bad idea, Greg. You're the former editor of Tiger Rag, by the way. I loved it when the Tiger came to the games.
I remember being on the sidelines and seeing, I guess at that time it had been Mike the Fifth, who was the last Tiger, I think, to have like an extensive run around the table. But which jumps out as me, and I think Brooks implied this, is that the reaction is like, don't we have other things that, especially our health, leading health official in the state, the governor, their two lawmakers who are also veterinarians who've weighed in here. So it's a matter of, like, I think perception in light of colleges and universities at the state level being asked to look at where they can cut back in advance of pending budget cuts. So it's a matter of priorities, I believe, that folks are really upset with based on our reporting.
Okay, quickly, let's go to a call or two, but please be brief. James and Metairie. James, you're first. Good morning,
Hi,
sir.
Hi, Jim and everybody. Clay Higgins, just another embarrassing Republican. Steve, I'm David Duke, went out the baggage. Senator Kennedy, Mike Johnson said he's the next Prophet Moses. The people put these guys in there, don't you think?
Yeah, of course, the state is quite conservative. And 671,000 Louisianians voted for David Duke. Does that make them all racist? Some would say yes. I would say it's far more complicated than that. But many of those people are still voting. And to put it in perspective, though, Duke got more votes, far more votes than Jeff Landry got. But let's slide Jim and Walker in. James and Walker, you'll be our final caller. You're on with Brooke and Greg.
Good morning, folks. I see the gems have the day today. About Clay Higgins, I mean, it's not a faux pas to be a racist, xenophobic, bigoted pig. That's just a terrible human being.
All right. Is he a terrible human being, or is he just a politician making hay in the sunshine, Greg?
Yeah, I think you have somebody who's opportunistic, that when you look at what rules the day with conservative Republicans from the top down, it is that type of messaging. And I think, again, conservatives, Republicans really need to do some soul searching and figure out, okay, is this really who represents us best? You can elect conservatives. You can elect folks with, mindsets that steer towards, your principles. But yeah, when someone goes in the direction of Clay Higgins, I think that you really have to start asking yourself questions.
All right. And Brooke, you've got the final word.
I think it's very interesting how Johnson and Scalise, defended him. But they also know it's a razor-thin margin if they want to stay in power in the next Congress, depending on how things go. So I was actually disappointed that they kind of defended him.
All right.
So,
well, we'll hopefully have both of you back soon. You're a good pair. Brooke Thorington, Greg LaRose, see you soon. And as we round the corner and head for home, using a baseball analogy, today's the 75th birthday of the greatest living Hall of Famer, Michael Jack Schmidt, 8-time National League home run champ, 10-time Gold Glove winner, 3-time MVP. Put it in perspective, he played in a dead ball era. In 1980, when he led the Phillies to the world title and hit 48 home runs, the New York Mets that year hit 61 home runs as a team. The San Diego Padres hit 67. The Giants hit 80. It was a dead ball era. So the 48 homers in 1980 were far more impressive than Aaron Judge's 58 today on a percentage basis. And here is Schmidt when he called it a career in 1989.
Not easy.
Here we go.
The Phillies are a first-class organization and have always afforded me the loyalty and security that few players, if any, will ever know. For that, I will be forever thankful to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Michael Jack Schmidt, 35 years ago. Back next week. Stay tuned.